We join the blessed name of Christ our Savior. As announced earlier, the topic that we are having today for this gospel meeting is the way to heaven. Right, the way to heaven. And the passage that we are taking this from is what we have read earlier, John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 1 to verse 7. Right, we have read that earlier. So today, the way to heaven, we are going to consider and think about what this passage tells us about the way to heaven. And so as I was preparing this message, I thought about one incident that sort of captured a little bit of a point I want to make down here. As I was ministering in Kenya, when we go to some places, you're not able to get directions on Google Maps. You can't, right? If you look on Google Maps, you search for the area, it doesn't appear. Then you try to zoom in, it's just one big patch of green or one big patch of grey. Right? Then there are all the small tracks, you don't know which one goes to the place that you want to go to. And so sometimes along the way, we have no choice. The only way to get directions is to ask the locals. And so we'll drive along the road, we'll try to find whomever we can, right? Whether it's children or teenagers or what. So we'll ask them, oh, do you know this place? Do you know this place? So finally, we find someone who seems to know this place. Right, so we told him that, oh, we want to go here. Or then he tells us, yeah, you just go further, you cross there, it's behind there somewhere, near that building. And so, okay, so we doubted him a little bit. So we asked him, are you sure you know the way? He said, yeah, I know the way. Then he kept insisting, yes, it's definitely over there, it's not very far, you can just cross there and you can see it. But then later on, we sort of asked him, but have you actually been there? Because his directions were quite vague. He says, no, I've not been there, but I know it's there. I know it's there. Right? And that's how some of the locals are. Right? They think that they know, they claim that they know, but actually they have never been there. And so later on, we found out that that was not really the way there. Right? That's just his impression from how he heard it along the way. Right? And so actually, when we talk about the way to heaven, I think this little incident that I had in mind from the past, it very well describes how people are. When you go outside, you talk to your friends, you talk to people all around, more or less people will sort of know their way in life, right? More or less, they'll know that, my way in life is this, it is to become this, it is to do this, this is my job, this is my role, my responsibility, this is my character, this is my interest, this is my motivation, this is my goal in life, and they have some sort of a way in life, right? They seem to be going in a certain direction. They seem to be quite sure of it. Maybe some teenagers are still trying to figure out the way in life, but more or less, right, most people will reach a certain stage when, this is the way that I want to go. That is how I want to end up. Right? That is my life goal, my dream. Right? And I want to retire like that and live my life like that. That is the way that I want to go. But however, when we come to the Bible itself, now, it's very important for us to take our minds away from what we think is the way and let us understand from the scriptures, right, what God wants us to know. What is the way that we should be really concerned about? Because all these earthly ways, where will they lead you to at the end of the day? Maybe your way or your dream is to become the president, or maybe your way or your dream is to become the next top billionaire in Singapore or something. That's your way and your dream. Or to become the best soccer player in Singapore. Not that Singapore is doing very well in soccer, but maybe the best soccer player in England or something. Okay, so that's your way. Right? You want to go there and you want to find your way there, you work your way there, and you want to finish the way, right? And end up at your destination. But the Bible presents to us a very different picture of what we should consider. And this passage that what we have read today from John chapter 14, verse 1 to verse 7, now, we have the Lord Jesus Christ here with his disciples, right? And of course, the topic is about the way and the way to heaven. And in John chapter 14, right, if you look at a slight context before this, right, if you can turn to your Bibles and you look at John chapter 13, right, if you're there, you can see in John chapter 13. Now, at this point of time, it is very much near the end of the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry on this earth. Right, in John chapter 14. In John chapter 13 down here, we find that the disciples' feet has already been washed as he was teaching them about humility. right? And then you'll find that also in John chapter 13, the Lord Jesus Christ announces to his disciples, all these apostles close to him, that he has to go. John chapter 13 is also where we find that Judas Iscariot betrays the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And Judas runs away. And so it is just the Lord Jesus Christ and 11 of his apostles, his disciples with him, right? And it is from this little incident, this little passage here, that we have a very precious teaching from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these disciples have already followed the Lord Jesus Christ for roughly about 3 years in this time. They have heard so many messages from the Lord Jesus Christ. They have witnessed so many of the miracles that he has done. They cannot deny that this is the Son of God. And they cannot deny that the Lord Jesus Christ has the power of God. They have seen men rise from the dead. They have seen the blind and the sick healed. They have seen all these things. And some of them have even seen the transfiguration, where the Lord Jesus Christ appeared in his full glory. They have seen all these things, and they ought to know that this is the Son of God, that this is Jesus Christ. But yet, you know, just before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, now all these events are happening on Thursday night, on Thursday evening. Right? And the next day, right, when as Christians, we celebrate Good Friday. Right? We celebrate this Friday, where the Lord Jesus Christ himself will be crucified. Right? So the next day, the Lord Jesus Christ will be crucified. And so the things that happened this night are very important. And as the Lord Jesus Christ spends some time with his disciples, you'll find that what he has to say to them is extremely, extremely important for them to know. Right? And it's not something that is entirely new. But he wants them to know for sure, for a certainty, of what is the way to heaven. Right, and so in chapter 13, in verse 33, you can actually see here he mentions to them, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you." Right, he loves them a lot. He treats them like his own children, treats them as family. And he's very concerned of whether they really know what is happening. Right, and he wants them to know for sure and for certain that he himself, he is going to be crucified the next day. Right? People will crucify and they will kill him upon the cross. Right? And then, in the future, he will rise again from the grave. But for now, the disciples are concerned. How come? You know, isn't this the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't he the Son of God? Isn't he supposed to rule over us? Isn't he supposed to be the victorious king? But how come? Why must the Lord Jesus Christ say that he will depart from me? He will go away from me. Why must he go away from me? For 3 years, you know, they have enjoyed being together with the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw the miracles happening. They were sheltered and protected by the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw all these miracles happening. They had food. They had water provided for them. You know, they live a relatively sheltered and protected life around the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever questions they had in life, the Lord Jesus Christ could answer them. He could teach them very personally. He cared for them. He loved them. Right? And they knew all those things they had was so wonderful. But now the moment Jesus says right, that he has to go away from them, it was something that really confused them. It was something that really, really struck them. He has to go away and depart from them. And even after this, you'll find from verse 36 to verse 38, Peter himself also wants to follow. All right, he says in verse 36, "Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Then Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." The Lord Jesus Christ has to go down the way that the Lord has set for him. He must go the way of the cross. He must go to the cross to be crucified, to die and to bleed for our sins. He must do this for our sake, for you and me, because God loves us so. So Jesus must go on his way to fulfill what God wants. He is the Son of God and he must fulfill the Father's will because he loves us for your sake and for my sake. And now here the disciples do not fully comprehend what Jesus Christ is going to do. That's why Peter keeps saying, I want to go, I want to go. Right? But Christ is telling him, the way that I am going, you cannot follow. It is not for you to follow. Right? And Jesus says, you want to follow me so much? You think you're very faithful? You think you're very courageous? You, Peter, will betray me in time to come. Right? And this leads us to chapter 14. Now, can you imagine the master telling his beloved disciples all these things? How do you think you will feel if you were one of the disciples? Will you not feel troubled? Exactly. Chapter 14, verse 1. Right, it says here, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Now, in this time, we see the patience and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ towards his disciples. He did not scold them, rebuke them, tell them off. He did not do that. But he seeks to comfort them. He seeks to continue teaching them. And it's from John chapter 14, John chapter 15 that we get many of these precious passages that tell us so much about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knows that this is a message to a troubled people, very much like you and I also. Just as the disciples were troubled, confused in their minds, likewise, many of us today, we might be troubled, we might be very much confused in this world. But this is a message today for us, right, that our hearts should not be troubled, but rather that we should believe in God, and to believe also in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the first thing to consider today from verse 1 is that we must believe in Christ the way. Right? We must believe in Christ the way. This is what we can see in this verse. And that's why Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. He knows that their hearts are troubled already. He cannot stop that. But he is teaching them, do not let your hearts be troubled. You do not let your heart go in that certain way. You should not be troubled. Is not the Son of God still before them, lovingly teaching them, directing them along the way? How come they're troubled? Have they not heard teachings from the Lord Jesus Christ for so long? Are they not very sure of their salvation? Right? You know that the disciples, they have confessed that this is the Christ. This is the Son of God. They already know this, but why are they so troubled? Now, this is the heart of sinful men. You know, as much as the disciples might have belief in Christ, yet still there is sin within their hearts. Likewise for you and I also, at times when we sin against the Lord, when there is sin, our hearts will be troubled for sure. And all the more so, if you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do not have God in your life, then you are left with your sins alone. And surely there must be trouble in your life, because you might not know the way that you're going, you might not have a direction, and you do not know what is your final destination. Where will you go at the end of your life? Where will you be found when you breathe your last breath, when your eyes close forever from this world? Where will you be found? Where will you go? Do you know the way? You might have traveled a long way through this life, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. You might have a long way of success, a long way of prosperity, a good family. This might be the way that you have. But at the end of your life, this might be the end of your way. And you are left with nothing. But however, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, then surely there is a way beyond this earth. And that is why the Lord Jesus Christ tells the disciples, the first thing that you must do is just to simply believe. That's it. Let not your heart be troubled, but ye believe in God. Believe also in me. That's why he has to stress, believe, believe, believe. That's why he has to repeat this twice to them. They just simply have to believe. And do you know how wonderful this is? Do you know how easy actually this is? Right? The Lord Jesus Christ did not tell you and I, oh, you want to follow my way? Good. Then you must gather a huge amount of money. In your life, you must work good works for 40, 50 years. Day and night, you must toil and labor in society to do good to many people. Now, all these things are not wrong. It is not wrong to have money. It is not wrong to do good deeds or good works on this earth. All these things are fine. But what do they do for the soul? Right? That is why God has to tell, right, these disciples down here, these people, that you just simply have to believe. That's it. You cannot do anything for yourself. You cannot go about your own way. You cannot find your way towards heaven. No way. You know, to go to somewhere, you need directions from someone who has been there, isn't it? You need someone to tell you how to reach there, how to go there. a direction that is very sure. You want exact, accurate directions, not some fuzzy, oh, roughly it's just down there. You try to find your way. You try. Perhaps, maybe it's there. And, you know, you try to drive that way, it might lead to your death. You might drive over a cliff. You don't want something like that. Now, these are matters of life and death. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ tells them, first of all, you must believe. If you do not believe in Him, then how can you continue? If you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then the rest of His words will not matter. And it's a first simple little thing that you and I can do. Just simply to believe in Him. That's it. Not to work, not to strive for something, but listen and then believe. That is something that a simple child can do. Right? A child can believe, isn't it? That we know that children, they believe all kinds of things. And the funny thing about children is this. Right? You can tell them anything and sometimes they'll just believe it. Right? I mean, you know, children are like this, isn't it? Very innocent to the world. Whatever you tell them, they will just take it as it is. Especially, right, if it comes from mommy and daddy, isn't it? Children are like that. They can believe very simply. Now, what about us? We also can believe, right? We believe in many things. We believe the earth is round. We believe in science. Well, some part of it. Right? We believe in many things in life. We have our own beliefs, our own principles and things like that. Belief is something that everyone can do. Whether you're a child, whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, do you need education to believe? Not necessarily. Right? You can just simply hear, understand, and believe. If you are disabled, can you also believe? Yes, you can. Right? If you have troubles in life, you have sin in life, if you're a murderer, if you're a thief, can you also believe? You can also believe. Everyone can believe. And that is the first thing that Jesus Christ is trying to stress to disciples. Right? You just simply have to believe in Him. That's all. That's the simple first requirement that God wants you and I to have, to know the way to heaven. First of all, are you prepared to believe in Him? If you come in with a heart full of doubt, if you are not ready to believe, you do not want to believe, then rest be assured, no matter how much the Bible explains to you the way to heaven, you will not want to believe. Right? You will not want to take that step of faith. Right? And you will not be concerned about it at all. And that is why the Lord Jesus Christ just simply mentions here, believe. Believe in God, believe also in Him, in Himself, as the Son of God. And now, we know that God loves the world. Right? We can see this from John chapter 3, verse 16. You can turn with me to John chapter 3, verse 16 to verse 17. Beg your pardon, my voice is very much going with the flu. John chapter 3, verse 16 to verse 17. All right, let me read this for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. All right, amen. And these two verses do tell us that it is the love of God. And that is why He cares about us, and that is exactly why He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. Right? Would not a caring father do everything in his capacity to be able to help and to save his children? Right? Any loving, caring father would be able to do so, would want to do that. Now, our Heavenly Father, God Himself who created you and I, He loves you and I. He wants to help you and I, right? And how does He do that? He sends His own begotten Son to save you and I. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ was sent to this earth. Right? Recently in December, we celebrated Christmas. Right? And Christmas is not just a season where you go out there and find Christmas trees, you have Santa Claus, you give gifts, and you know, have a good holiday and enjoy yourself at the end of the year. But Christmas is where we celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Right? That is why we celebrate Christmas. Right, and Lord Jesus Christ has come to this earth, right, to save us from our sins. Right, and these verses also say that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And it says here, whosoever, it doesn't matter who. Right, anyone can come to the cross, anyone can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in Him. no matter who you are. Please do not think that, oh, you know, but I don't deserve this. You know, I'm such a bad person. Right? Jesus is only for Christians. No, that's not true. The Bible says, whosoever, by believing in Christ, that is how you become a Christian. Right? The cross, the Lord Jesus Christ is not exclusive, only for a certain group of people. That is exactly why we have gospel rallies. This is why we invite all of you to come, to listen to the gospel message. That is why we go out there to evangelize, to preach the gospel to others, that whoever it might be able to come to the cross to believe in Christ. Whosoever, right, I hope that as you sit down here, you know, you carefully consider, have I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? You can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ this day. You're not excluded. It's not only for Christians or Christians' family, but all can believe in Him, right? And you can be saved this day, right? And as you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you gain salvation through Him, right? And in verse 18, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And what is this condemnation over here? Why are you and I condemned? You might be thinking, I'm relatively a good person in this society, right? I don't commit sins. I'm not that bad. I'm not like the people in Changi prison. So why does the Bible say that, oh, we're all condemned, right? You don't believe in Christ, oh, you're condemned. How come you say your God is so loving when your God wants to condemn all of us? Now, we know that our God is a holy, righteous God. He is a judge, right? And He is very fair, right? And all of us as sinners, you know, when we are born, do we not sin, you and I? We all sin, right? We all do things that are not right. And by this, all of us are sinners. We are born in such a way, right? And no man on this earth is excused, right? All of us are sinners. And that is why the whole world is condemned, right? And that is why God condemns the entire world. And that is why the whole world needs salvation. Right? And that is why we must be so concerned about this way to heaven. Because when we are condemned, now what do you do with a criminal? What do you do with an evil man? You know, right? This evil man does not have a good consequence for him. This evil man must be put away, and that's exactly why we have prisons today, isn't it? Right? You capture all these criminals, that's what the police do. They bring them to the judge. The judge determines that this is a criminal. He's an evil man. He should not be found in society. And then he is condemned. And then he is sent away for punishment in prison because of the evil things that he has done. Now, you and I, are we not also evil people? Are we also not sinners? We are all the same, sinners, condemned in sin. We deserve punishment. And our punishment, as the Bible would say to us, is hell. It's eternal damnation. That's a condemnation that's reserved for us forever. That is why we die. And that is why we go to the grave. And beyond that, hell awaits us. Right, sorry. That is why hell awaits us. But when we come back here to John chapter 14, now a way is prepared for us. And that is why Jesus says that you must simply be ready to believe. Just simply look at Him, know who He is, and believe in Him. Right, chapter 14, verse 1. Let your heart be troubled. If your heart is troubled by sin, then now what you can do is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no way that you can atone or wash away all your sins by yourself. Right? You imagine all the sins that you have done in this life, all the evil things that you have done. Now, what can you do to take all those things away? Can you travel back in time to the past and then say sorry to all these people and do good things for them? You can't. Right, how can we remove sins from ourselves? We cannot erase our history like that. It's not like you surf the internet, right? Then you clear your browser history. Oh, then it's all gone. It's not like that. We cannot do things like that. Right? And that is why the Lord knows there must be a way for us out from this damnation and sin. And that is why He says now, believe in Him, first of all. Believe in the way that He is going to prepare for us. The way that He's going to show us. And in this passage, the Lord Jesus Christ reminds His disciple that first of all, believing in Christ the way is the first and most important thing, that they must do so. And have they not believed? This point is to make them consider and think carefully. Are you not disciples and followers of Me? You should have believed in Me already. And now, you here today, Is it not time also that you consider in your life, have I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you have, then you know. I have believed in the way, but have I walked in the way? And if you have not believed in Christ, time to think, what are the things that I am believing in? Am I believing in myself? Where would that lead me to? Am I believing in certain idols and statues and superstitions? Where will all these things lead me to? What do I believe in? And where will all these things lead me? Now, the Bible gives to us a very clear direction of where our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ will lead. Right? And that is what we see in verse 2 to verse 4. In verse 2 to verse 4. The next thing is to know the way. Right? You cannot just say, oh, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's it. Then we don't know what he does. Of course, this is where the Lord Jesus Christ will explain to us in verse 2 to verse 4 about heaven itself. You want to know the way to heaven? Then you must know where you're going. All right? And in verse 2, the Lord Jesus explains here, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, when we think of the mansions in my Father's house, right? Of course, here he refers to heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ comes from, right? And when we think of mansions, now, normally today we'll think of mansions as a huge building, right? Some 2-, 3-, 4-story bungalow with a garage and a swimming pool, and we think, wow, that's a mansion, right? You wouldn't normally describe a HDB flat as a mansion, right? Unless you have a mansionette, but that's different, right? Normally you think of a mansion as a huge building. Now, well, actually, if you look at this word in the original, the word mansion, it just simply means a place to remain, right? It's just that over time, people have added this meaning to this word to mean a huge, comfortable, a stately place to live in, all right? But this word actually just simply means a place that you can remain at. You will only remain in a place where you're comfortable in, right? You will stay there, you will dwell there, you will live there, and then you will continue to remain there if it's a good place to stay. That's the idea of a mansion, right? So if you think that heaven is filled with huge 4- or 5-story bungalows waiting for you, well, I'm not very sure how it is, all right? But what it means down here is that the Lord Jesus Christ has prepared a place, right? In heaven, there are places prepared for those who believe, and that's what he wants the disciples to know. Why do you want me to remain here on this earth? Why do the disciples keep wanting Christ to stay with them? Christ was trying to tell them, no, your aim and your goal in this life is not to stay here forever on this earth. Right? We as a people are supposed to head towards heaven. That is our permanent place. That is our eternal place awaiting for us. How come these disciples are so fixed upon Jesus remaining on earth with them? They want Jesus to live with them until, you know, they're old and then die with them. No, Jesus is saying that the way for every Christian is the way to heaven. Because we believe in Christ, we believe in his promises, we believe in the place that he's preparing for you and me. Right? And therefore, that is the direction that we are going towards. That is the way towards heaven. Right? And the best thing is this. Jesus himself, personally, he prepares the way for us. Right? He says here in verse 2, if it were not so, I would have told you. Do you think Jesus is playing games down here with disciples? He's playing a guessing game. Oh, maybe this is what I will do for you. Perhaps this is the way. He doesn't do that. He says, if it is not, why am I telling you all these things? Do you think Jesus Christ is a liar? Of course not. He's not a liar. Right? So therefore, he's telling them, if it were not so, why would I tell you all these things? Right? And he says that he has to go to prepare a place for them. And of course, by this, right, if you continue reading through the Bible, we'll not have time to read through many passages. We know that later on, the Lord Jesus Christ will go to the cross. He will die there. He will be crucified. Right? And he will bleed to death. Right? And by the shedding of his blood, our sins are washed away. He has to go that way. He has to suffer death. And then he will be resurrected again. Right? And that is to show to us life, that the way ahead is a way of life. He will rise from the grave after 3 days, and later on, right, he will ascend to the heavens, right, away from this earth, to show to us that he goes and returns to his Father's side in heaven, awaiting for us. He has all these places prepared for you and I. Isn't that wonderful? He prepares the way for us. He never tells you and I, oh, you must make your own way, okay? Isn't that what the world teaches? You must believe in yourself. You must make your own way, right? And then you must forge your path through this world. You know, establish yourself in this world. Establish your name establish your place in this world, and then, you have found the way of the world. That's what the world will teach, but the Bible says no. The Lord Jesus Christ prepares the way for us. He prepares the destination and a place for us to go to. All we have to do is believe. Right, verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Isn't that very reassuring? You know, when you want to go to someone's house, right? And then sometimes you cannot find a way. And sometimes you panic, should I turn left or turn right? If I just anyhow turn left, I'll go through an expressway again. And then you'll be quite a long way before you can U-turn. So the most reassuring thing is to have someone who knows the way to be with you. Someone who has been there before to come and fetch you to that place. Right? So that you can go for sure, go for a certainty. And now this is the illustration that the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to give to his disciples. To let them understand that this is why I came to this earth. To tell you about the way to heaven. So that you can be very assured. Right, without a single doubt or fear or trouble in your heart. To know that as long as you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I will follow with him in the way. Right, and then I will be found in the final destination with him. This is the assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to give to his disciples. You know, and so for you and I, as you read the scriptures, this is the promise of God given to us, that if we believe in him, we can be found with him. And that is why the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to this earth for you and I. And that is why the Bible records his words for us. These are his words of love to direct you and I to the way, right, to follow him, so that one day, when we are no longer found on this earth, where will we be found? We will be found with him. With the places that he has prepared for us. It's as if he himself personally ushers us to his own place, right, to be with him. And so verse 4, "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Right, and here he wants to let them know for certainty. He says, the way that I go, you know, and the way you know. Why does he say no here twice? Why does he keep saying, I go, I go, I go? Now, this is very important for us to note. Now, from verse 2 to verse 3 to verse 4, every single verse will say, I go, I go, I go. The emphasis is this. Christ himself, he is preparing the way for us to make sure that we know the way. He himself, first of all, must go. He doesn't send you to go on the way by yourself. Right? And then he also says that this way is God's will. It is God's own way given to us to follow. Right? All we have to do is simply to follow. And then finally, in verse 4, he again emphasizes, right? And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Now, the word I go here in verse 4 is a little bit different in the original. Right? This is the word as a picture of being drawn away, being led away. And that's the thought that Jesus wants to leave with them. Right, that he goes ahead like a leader. He prepares the way for them. He will show them that death is nothing to be afraid of. Because the disciples will see him dying on the cross. The disciples will flee and run. Right, but Jesus says, I go. Right, he has to go first so that the disciples will understand and know death is nothing to be afraid of. Right, and then he will rise from the grave to show them that there is life after death. That's the assurance that he wants to give. He wants them to know for a certainty that the way to heaven is prepared and ready for them. All they have to do is simply believe and know what they're believing in. And know for a certainty that God's promises are true and sure for them. Right, so they must go the way of Christ. They must believe and then they must know the way that Christ has showed them. And lastly, when we come to verse 5 to verse 7. Now here we have Thomas, right? Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Now, you will find that Thomas here is representative of a bad student. All right? It's as if Lord Jesus Christ has been teaching them for 3 whole entire years. And until this point of time, Thomas, full of doubt in his heart, full of disbelief in his heart, he's still thinking. At the end of the day, Thomas said to him, you know, where you're going? We do not know how to go. Right? That's why he's asking. And he says here also, right, we know not where you're going and how can we know the way? Isn't this exactly what we have just gone through. This is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ has just explained to them. And it's not the first time that they're hearing this. Right? And this shows very much a disbelief that some can have in this world. Right? Even though the Bible is very clear, yet some will still continue to doubt and doubt and doubt. How come? What is the way? Are you really sure the Bible is true? Are you really sure that this is the way to go? How come there seems to be so many ways in this world? This religion teaches this, that religion teaches this, that religion also talks about heaven. How come Jesus is the only way? And now the Lord knows all these doubts in Thomas's heart. Likewise, you and I sitting here today, do you have all these doubts in your heart? Why must I be a Christian? Why must I follow Christ? Are you sure this is the only way? Maybe this is all wrong. Maybe there's some other way. But here, Christ wants for a certain to know, wants Thomas for a certainty to know that he is the only way to go. And likewise, these words are kept for you and I, to know that Christ is the only way, and we must come to Christ the only way. So in verse 6, now Jesus responds to him, right, with much care, not scolding, rebuking him, but he lovingly explains to him further. Right, and you know, in verse 6, this is where we get the very wonderful title of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Isn't it wonderful to hear and know that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the way, the truth, and the life? And this comes because of one disciple who still had disbelief and doubtings in his heart. Right? And this is why the Lord Jesus Christ has to teach him so simply, so wonderfully. And likewise, you and I today, you know, when we think of Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, now isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus himself is the way? He is not a way to heaven where you can pick a way. Right? You can pick way number one, you can pick way number two, you can pick way number three, you can pick way number four, and maybe, alright, through all these different ways you have different options to get to heaven. The Bible never says this. Jesus says, I am. Right, he says that himself, I am the way, that's all. The one way, only way, no other way. And this way will continue to remain for you and I. Same way, all throughout history. Right, whether it's thousands of years ago or today, no matter how much the world will change, no matter how much philosophy will change, no matter how much new religions will come in, Jesus is still the way. That's it. The way to heaven has never changed. Right? It is just to believe in Christ himself, to believe in the Savior himself. And that is the way to go. Right? Believe in Christ. And this way is prepared for us. This way has been made known to us, as has been explained already. And Jesus here also says that he is the truth. Now, this adds on to the next point. Right? He's not just the only way, but he is the truth. And when he says that he is the truth, it simply means that all other ways are not true. That's why he is the truth. And that's why he says, that's why only the Lord Jesus Christ himself can say, I am the way, the truth. Because there's no other truth, no other true way to heaven. All other ways are false. All other ways will not work. All other ways have no certainty. It's just maybe, maybe, and perhaps. You try your best. Right, you try your best to be a good person. You try your best to do this, do this, do this. And maybe if you are good enough, maybe if you work hard enough, you will be there in heaven. Maybe. And do you think this maybe is true? Do you want to, it's a life and death issue. Do you want to place the importance of your soul and your life on this maybe, like gambling or try your luck, like rolling a dice? Right? If you hit the right number, oh, lucky, I get to heaven. If not, wow, unlucky, I don't go to heaven. That is very well how the world thinks. This is exactly what some of my friends say. You just try. Right? You're a Christian, you try your way. I try this way. Then if you're lucky, you get there. If not, you don't get there. Too bad for you. That's how some people think. Do you think that this is the way that God wants to put for us to be with him? He loves us. He cares for you and I. He sets for us a certain path, a true way for us to follow. So that when we believe in him, when we follow his way, we will be found in heaven with him, in the place prepared for us. Right? And that is why he is also the life. Right? Only in Christ Jesus then you have true life. And that is why he is the way, the truth, and the life. Because the way will lead you to life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, of course, on this earth, as you live as a Christian, you live the Christian way. And then you have new life here on this earth. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved and you are born again. Right? All things are made new in this sense. Right? Wherein your life is transformed by Him. Right? No longer are you on the path towards hell. No longer are you left by yourself in sin, not knowing where to go. But now you have a direction. Now you have light in your life. Now the way is clear before you. You know where you can go in life. And you know where you're being led to. The Bible now becomes God's word to you. It becomes truth. Right? And with this, you have a new life. You know, your life is not lost anymore. Anytime you need answers, you can turn to the Word of God and the Lord will speak to you. You can pray to the Lord. You can communicate with the Lord Himself. It becomes a new way of life. And at the end of this life on this earth, when you breathe a last breath, when your eyes close forever, no more to see this world, where will your life be then? You know for certainty, if you have belief in Him, then for sure, you will be found forever in heaven, the place prepared for you, and your life continues there. Your life continues there for all eternity, never ending, together in heaven, in peace, in rest. Otherwise, the only other way is this, is that if you do not follow the way of Christ, you do not follow the way and the truth and the life, then where will your path lead? You will go any way you want to. You believe in any truth you want to. Whatever you think is true, you just believe in it. Fine. And then at the end of it, what is the life that you will receive? No life. No life. After you die, you will only be found in hell. Eternal suffering and fire. And then that's it. And you think that is life? So a few of my friends that I've previously spoken to about tried to preach to them the gospel, try to tell them about Christianity, about the gospel, about the way to heaven. But this is their response. And you might find that it's very common. They are very fine with going to hell. They say, oh, it's okay. I can go to hell. All my friends are there. And they can't even dare to say, my family is waiting for me in hell. I'm going to join them. And these are what people would say. I hope that this is not the answer in your heart. Right? Because are you really sure? These are very bold words to say. I don't mind going to hell. My family is there. Right, it's okay, it's just some suffering. Just some suffering? You sure you really want that? You burn yourself a little bit, right? In a hot stove with hot water. And you want to be burned and punished for the rest of your life? When this way of eternal life is present before you, why would you want to go in such a way? Do not go in such a way. That is why Jesus says, you believe in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is the way to heaven and the only way. And this is the way that whosoever, you and I, can embark upon, right, just by believing in Him. And says for here in verse 7, and from henceforth ye know Him and have seen Him. Right, sorry. Yeah, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know Him and have seen Him. Right, this is the only way to God Himself, through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way. So today, as you sit here listening to this message, as you have gone through the seven verses, right, I hope that you understand and know that the way requires that you and I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That's all that God asks of you and I, just to believe in Him. That's it. Because you only have two options. One, believe in Him. The other, you deny. And then you know full well where the end of each road goes to. Now, if you believe Him, you cannot believe in what you do not know, right? So the Lord Jesus Christ explains about heaven. Heaven is a place prepared for you and I, place of eternal rest. Of course, there are many passages in the Bible that talk about heaven, but we do not have the time to go through all of them. Right? But the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, has prepared a place for you, waiting for you to join Him. Right? And so, that is the way that is made known to you and I. So if you believe, then you know that this is the way, that's your final destination. Right? Eternity with the Lord Himself. And lastly, what's the only last thing that you can do? You come. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Right? And that's the invitation that He gives down here in verse 6. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You have to come to God Himself. You know, and so as you sit here this day, it's not by chance that you are sitting over here listening to this message. Maybe you've heard the gospel message before. Maybe you've heard it many times before. Maybe you know the gospel message in and out. But have you come to the Savior? Have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you believed in Him? It's one thing to know the way. But if you don't come to Christ, you don't believe in Him, then what's the point of knowing the way? Right? If you have believed in Him, you know for sure, this is the way to heaven. You know for sure, my place is prepared there. My name is there, waiting for me. My place is prepared there. My Heavenly Father is waiting for me to return to Him one day. That is the way to heaven. Right? And so, come to Christ if you have not. And I pray that as you sit here this day, you know, personally, in your own heart, examine your own life. What is this way that I have in this life? What is my way? What is my truth? What is this life that I have? If you are lost, if you are troubled, and if you realize that the only way in this life is sin, you do not know where you are going, then it's time to think about it very carefully. This is a life and death issue, not something to be KIV'd. Ah, never mind. I think about it in the future, okay? This is a critical issue that concerns your life, right? And you have to consider it. You cannot ask a pastor or priest or somebody to consider it for you. It is your life. And God is very concerned. Right? And God loves you and I. And that is why this message is here to stay. That this is the way to heaven. So will you not come to the Savior? Come to believe in Him. Come to know the way. And then follow the way of Christ. So this is the way to heaven this day that Christ has presented for us. And at the end of the day, I hope that as you sit here, your hearts will not go away cold and unturned, thinking that your own way is the best. I hope that is not the end result of this message, but I pray that you spend time to think carefully of Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No other way. Come to Him, believe in Him, know who He is, and follow Him, and you will find a place prepared for you, a place of eternal peace, a place of eternal rest. May you come to Christ. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for this passage that we're able to consider and think about this day. Oh Lord, as we walk through our life in this world, we know that there are so many ways given to us. The way of riches, the way of power, the way of popularity in this world. And so many people tell us that there are so many ways to go in this life that we can be successful. Oh Lord, but we do not want all of these things. What we only want to do is to know the truth, is to know the life that you have given to us. And we pray that you help us to come and believe in you, to believe in Christ, thy Son, sent for us to die on the cross, to bleed for us, to rise and to show to us that there is eternal life beyond the grave. Oh Lord, you have shown to us that this is the way to heaven. It is a sure promise. It is a sure way given to us. And we pray that you grant to us the faith to believe in thee. We pray that thy word and thy spirit will touch every soul sitting here today. And we pray that all will come to believe in thee, that all will come to thee, that none will resist and run away from thee. And if that be so, Lord, we pray that in thy mercy, you will save every soul unto thyself, whom thou hast chosen. And we pray that you'll be very gracious and very merciful to us. So, Lord, help us to walk in thy way. And we pray that you grant to us thy truth and thy way and thy life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.